is loud. NewsHawk 930 presents to you now, Sandy Beach. Beach and Company.
Well, hello, hello, hello. It is Beach and Company, and I'm Sandy Beach, and lots to talk about today on the more serious side of the ledger, and we'll get to that in a moment. But meanwhile, a lot of local news. The Erie County Fair says no mas, no mas, so there will not be a fair this year. And that's usually right in the first part of August. So, Tony, about the only venue that I can think of that hasn't canceled would be Wingfest. We still haven't heard anything about Wingfest. At last we knew, they said that if they had to bring them in two at a time, that's what they do. But we've not. Have you heard anything?
No, I haven't heard anything from Drew Cerza in a while. Hopefully it's something that we will be able to do. And you look at some of the data that's going on right now where, you know, we're seeing these numbers drop and drop, even in states that have been open for, 3 weeks now. Yeah. They're not seeing any. So hopefully we go in that trend and we are able to have something to look forward to.
Yeah, as I'm thinking, I mean, it's held at the baseball park, so that's plenty of a large venue. So you could spread things out, but I don't know. Who knows? It was sad to hear Chavetta, Mrs. Chavetta, talking about, you know, that's the main part of their business. She seemed okay. She understands it because it's been building for a while. But all of these things, they're iconic to Western New York. The things that go on coincide with the weather. And pretty soon, now, we've already cancellation up to the up to August. And pretty soon the weather will be changing and the Bills will be playing, so we'll see where that goes. Meanwhile, have you guys seen anything about baseball lately? Some of their plans seemed goofy when we first heard about them. Any update on them?
Well, not so much the plans, but now what we're seeing is the athletes reverting to being pigs. They didn't like the proposal that the owners set out as far as, you know, how much you're going to get paid this year. Obviously, they're not going to be able to do a full season. And here you have people who are unemployed, lost their jobs, lost their business, and players are saying, nah, that's not enough money.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Like I was telling Tony before the show, I mean, what other sport do the athletes after 10 or 12 seasons get to retire and then have enough money to buy half a team? You know, I mean, we're talking baseball players with these monstrous contracts and, you know, owners who are always made out to be the bad guy. Owners are taking a huge cut this year. Even if the games get in, we're not talking NFL contracts, okay? They are missing sales of merchandise. They are missing ticket sales. Owners are taking a huge hit. I think if you're not going to play the 162, and again, not play in front of fans, you're still making a lot more money than the 30 million out there right now who are looking for a job, who once this is over may not even get their job back. You know, come on, pick up the ball, let's play.
And it seems like hockey, the Sabres didn't make the cut, but at least they got a plan. We'll see how that goes. Meanwhile, the last I heard or read about NFL is they expect to be playing in September, and they expect full stadiums. I don't know where the top people in the NFL have been going or smoking or drinking. That doesn't seem very realistic to me.
I would say today, May 28th, I feel that's more likable than if you had told me that May 1st.
Yeah.
Just the way things are going. I know it's still a long shot, but I feel more positive that maybe not in New York State, but I don't think it's crazy to think that in Baton Rouge for LSU football, that they'll have a full stadium. Atlanta for the Falcons. They never get full stadiums anyway, but they'll have fans.
My feeling is it's two parts. Playing in September, I don't know. But I don't think there'll be full stadiums. I would be very surprised. There are people that we're seeing now, even like last weekend, on the weekends going out. But I think that's a small percentage. I think a lot of people are going to wait and see what happens. They might even wait a few games. But if on opening day, unless they have to paper the stadium with freebies, I cannot see full stadiums. I just don't think that's going to happen.
I think it's a possibility. A lot's going to depend on, some of the doctors and scientists that have said that, you know, with the summer months, it's going to weaken the virus as it has with any virus that we've ever encountered. So we could see it weaken by September. Notre Dame University, I saw a statement from them. They believe they will have students in their classrooms. In fact, they're talking about opening up sooner than later, but still no decision as whether they're going to be able to put fans in the stands for Notre Dame football games.
I read an article, I think it was today, the time gets messed up, that says we may never get rid of this, even with a vaccine, that we may have to live with this as we do with certain others, or not live with it. It didn't mean a tongue-in-cheek double entendre there, for the rest of our lives.
I don't buy that at all.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah, meanwhile, I don't buy it.
Meanwhile, Fauci's changed his tune on something again. I understand that as the event progresses, we learn new things that we didn't know before the event. But they keep telling us this, and then 2 weeks later, diametrically change it. Does it live on surfaces or doesn't it live on surfaces?
Are you immune to it after you've had it or not?
Aren't you? Yeah. Are kids liable to be immune or not? I mean, they just keep making it up, I think, as we go along.
Yeah, this goes back to what I've been saying since day one. Who do you believe? Your doctors that disagree with other doctors. Yeah. Well, they're doctors.
That's exactly right. All right, we'll take a break on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Great weather for a bonfire.
You're Mr. Bonfire, and you have all the wood necessary, ready to go.
Yeah, in fact, go ahead.
What do you do when your bonfire's going on? You sit around and tell stories about the war? What do you do?
Basically, joke around, and it's just peaceful. Even if I'm out there by myself, sitting at the table, the fire's going, it's really, we have a quiet neighborhood, and it's just one of those things that I like to do, and it helps me relax.
Sounds like fun. When I watch Naked and Afraid, the best part of it is when they can't make fire. They're desperately, even when they have the fire starter, that thing that, you scrape it and it produces a spark, which goes into your kindling, which starts the whole fire. Even when they do that and they can't start the fire, I love that. I love that because most of these people can do a lot more than I could do out in the wilderness, fully clothed, by the way. When the things are fire and shelter and food and water, okay? The first thing that you should do is shoes, okay? Because especially when they put them out in the jungle where there are things they step on that are thorny and snakes and stuff like that. Yeah. So you got to have shoes, okay? Once you have shoes, you got to get water. Water is very important. And then make sure you get your shelter and your fire. And then at night, they always show footage of eyes looking at the people who are naked and afraid. All you see is eyes. That's pretty spooky.
Yeah, it is.
Because they don't have guns or anything. The most they have is they cut down a piece of wood and sharpen the end of it. And that's going to protect them against, lions.
Good luck with
that. A lion and use it as a toothpick. but they have a production crew of about five people that follow them around. So even at night, pitch dark, 2:30 in the morning, they're never totally alone. There are other people there. And one would guess, although they've never said it, one would guess that in the production crew there's somebody with a rifle. Because I can't believe that they let a lion eat one of the contestants.
That wouldn't look good.
I don't think so. It'd be good for ratings.
Yeah.
Yes. Watch the lion eat Harry. Tuesday night at 9,
Well, it was popular with the Romans.
Oh, yeah, the Romans. Yeah, the Christians and the lions. But I'm guessing, although, as I said, they've never said it or alluded to it, that there's probably somebody there with a rifle.
I just picture somebody at nighttime yelling out, all right, who has the Little Debbie snacks?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the funny part is they do repeats where people didn't quite make the 21 days, and so they put them on a second shot with it, and they put them with a different partner in a different place. But the whole point is this one guy that they put on for a second time, I was really surprised they did it. Because on the first time, he was thrown off of the contest for stealing food. So the guy stole food. They caught him. They threw him off, but they brought him back on another show. So wouldn't you think he'd steal food again?
You would think he has a pattern.
I would think they would lock down the Milky Way bars. he didn't do any better the second time. I guess once a thief of food, always a thief of food. Now, a serious situation as we have with the virus in the USA. A lot of the headlines yesterday, and rightfully so, were about what was happening in Minneapolis. In Minneapolis, this is a fairly familiar pattern. I will give you the scenario. There was video of Minneapolis police getting involved with arresting a black man. The reason I'm saying it is it's central to the story of arresting a black man. Now, there was video on it. And the video, first of all, showed part one was they showed him standing next to a policeman in cuffs. Let me just say this before I even get any further than that. Let's do the scenario. All we know is what we know. There may be things that we don't know yet. We're going on the impression that this is the whole story, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It's possible something else may show up that may alter what we're saying, but as of now, it looked pretty cut and dry. But it's important to know that sometimes things do change, but I would find it very difficult to believe that there were extenuating circumstances in what I'm telling you now, okay? Having said that, also having said, I spent yesterday telling you how we should trust the police. And that hasn't changed. We should still trust the police. But the bottom line is, as I said, law enforcement, are they perfect? No, of course not. They're human beings. Some are better than others. But the number of bad ones are very, very small and very limited, and we should not judge them all, as we shouldn't judge any group by a small number within that group. Okay, having said all of that, so here's a black man in cuffs, in handcuffs, behind him standing up. Then the next video you see, there's a police cruiser there, and right near the back tire, the man in handcuffs is on the ground, and the policeman has his knee on that man's neck, okay? And now the audio says, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. You can't hear the audio on all of the soundtracks, but it's on several of them, so we'll assume that it should be on all of them. Can't breathe, can't breathe, can't breathe. Next time you know he's unresponsive, they're bringing him away, and he is dead. He's gone. He is gone. There is no way under any circumstances, for everything we've seen, that there is any way that that was justified. The man, let's use his name. We want to make sure this is a real person, not just a statistic. George Floyd. George Floyd was not resisting, but he was in cuffs. So if you have a man, I'm not a cop, but if you have a man in cuffs, not resisting, there's no need to further any further action is to get him in the cruiser and bring him to jail or wherever you have to bring him. And you don't want to bring him to the morgue. That's the wrong thing. So I think that anybody, black, white, red, yellow, doesn't matter, anybody who has any kind of sensibility looks at this and says, this is outrageous. We cannot have this. Well, immediately there were protests started, which doesn't surprise me at all. The four policemen, we only saw two involved in the video, but the four policemen who they suspect were involved have all been fired, okay? And I'm sure that they'll be brought to justice in a court of law, but they've been fired. Meanwhile, the crowd went from protesting to mob. And this is where I want to stress This is where they did absolutely no good of helping themselves to get 100% of people against what was done. Now, nobody's going to favor what was done, but some might try and find reasons why it was done. There's no reason that's acceptable to my mind. He was not fighting back. He did not have a weapon. He was in handcuffs. He was helpless, and there's no excuse for it. Just none. It's disgusting. Okay? So you've already got that. Suddenly, what's the next thing you see? I'll tell you when we come back. Because the next thing you see kind of takes something away from what you just saw. And we'll explain as we go along on News Radio 930. This is WBEN. And we are back with the Beach and Company. I'm Sandy Beach. Reminder, we have changed the text line. You must call 716-803-0930, okay? So if you do that, we can still get your text. And the usual telephone numbers still apply. So we all looked shockingly at that video of a Minneapolis police officer with his hand, well, not his hand, his knee on the neck of a black person they're trying to arrest. The black person was not offering any resistance, did not have a weapon, at least from what we could see and what we know so far. Now, every once in a while, a little more information ekes out. That's what I saw last night and early this morning. And then later this morning, I saw that on the same shot of the officer with his knee on the person's neck, there was another cop standing within 1 foot, which we didn't see in the original video, within 1 foot. And he made no attempt to stop the other cop from what turns out to be killing him. He made no attempt that we could see. Now, maybe he said something verbally, couldn't hear it. But from what I could see visually, there was no attempt by the other cop 1 foot away from stopping him. So here we are, we're angry to the core that this sort of thing can happen, and understanding that it shouldn't have happened and should never happen again. There's no excuse for it. None. Now, having said that, just so you'll know, let's draw the line right there. So what happens after the event happens? We get people protesting. That's to be expected. I think, as long as it's peaceful. Well, it wasn't peaceful very long. Pretty soon, it got more and more out of hand, and then it resulted in what we see in every kind of an event like this. We see the angry mob rushing a Target store and stripping it bare. Stripping it bare. Some coming out with multiple TV sets. Multiple. Some coming up with, I saw one with a toaster. Right? It's like they have a legitimate outrage as to what happened, but they don't have a legitimate reason to become looters. And that's all they were. They become looters. And it gets worse. After they strip the Target store clean, there's an AutoZone right next door to it. And that, they not only, I assume, strip clean, they burned it to the ground. Okay? So I'm saying that when they do that, what happens? You had 100% of the people looking at that video feeling very angry about it, wanting justice done. The four cops were fired, and I'm sure they're all going on trial for various charges, maybe even murder. I'm not sure what they'll be charged with, but the death of a human being. So you have everybody on one page, and then you do this. So what happens? What do other people see now? The murder of that black man almost goes unnoticed now as we see looters. And looters and thieves, that's all they are. They don't have a legitimate reason to be excused for being a looter or a thief or burning down a business. And you know, it doesn't make much sense to do it in the first place simply because they do them and they're in their own neighborhoods. So those same people are going back today saying, hey, I was going to go to Target today and get something. or I needed a part for my car, and I went to AutoZone, and it was burned to the ground. It gets people extremely angry. You know what they do? Do you know what they do with looters in wartime? They shoot them. They absolutely shoot them. Looters are the scum of the earth, as far as I'm concerned. And because you have a legitimate reason to be ticked off at the man, or ticked off at the community, or ticked off at life, does not give you the reason to go in and ruin somebody else's life, to turn somebody else's business upside down. You just don't have it. And so my question is, does the looting, pillaging, and stealing take away from the importance of the George Floyd death by the Minneapolis Police Department? I think it absolutely does. We've seen this before. We saw it in Baltimore. I've seen it in Ferguson. It's the same scenario, the same damn thing. You have a legitimate reason to be angry, but you don't have a legitimate reason to become a looter, a thief, an arsonist. And that's exactly what we have going on. And what happens is pretty soon, they lose track that it was a human being named George Floyd that got killed. He did not get killed so you could have a free TV. Okay? Yeah, and that's no tribute to his memory that this man died when he shouldn't have so that you could get a toaster. My God. I mean, I just don't understand that at all. Tony, give me your thoughts on it. You too, Buzzy.
I think that I'm joining in with you. I'm first of all outraged at the unnecessary death of George Floyd. I think absolutely from the video that I've seen, it looked like police brutality. It looked like murder. The rioting, I don't get. The destruction of your neighborhood, I don't get. I don't see how stealing a TV, liquor, or anything else is justification gives you revenge for what happened to Mr. Floyd. I think it's absolutely disgusting. I think Candace Owens had a great comment on Twitter where she said, "Then you wonder why businesses don't want to set up in your neighborhood."
That's a good point. If I were a business and they were trying to lure me to a neighborhood that I thought might be similar to this, I wouldn't go there. I just wouldn't go there. And keep in mind, what do those businesses do? They're serving the very people that are looting them. They're serving the very people that are burning down your building. There was a liquor store there. I don't know the outcome of the liquor store. But primarily, we saw the Target store was just raped clean. It was just empty. And the AutoZone store was aflame, a huge flame shooting from the AutoZone. We assume it burned to the ground. And these businesses are there to serve the very people that are destroying them. And then the very people that are destroying them will bitch about the fact that they don't have the services that they need in their community. You figure that one out. We have seen the enemy, and it is us. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, I'll get Buzzy's opinion on this, too, and yours. 803-0930, 1-800-616-9236, and *930. You can text us at 716-803-0930. Back after this. Does the looting, pillaging, and stealing take away from the importance of the George Floyd death by the Minneapolis PD? Joe Beamer, give me your thoughts. We've already heard from our friend Mr. Caligiuri. What are your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's an obvious injustice. Seeing that video fills me with an anger that I really can't explain. You know, there are most of law enforcement are amazing people who put their lives on the line every day so you and I, no matter our color, no matter our gender, can live safely. And this guy has not only done an injustice to Mr. Floyd and his family, but to also those people who put their lives on the line every day. And I really do hope justice is served. I don't see how that officer should not be sent to jail. And like you said, the person standing there watching it happen and doing nothing. It's just an awful video. And but I don't think the answer is to then go and burn places to the ground and go clean out Target. Protest, yes, of course, protest, demand answers. It's a video that no one should ever have to see, especially family members and the parents of
sure.
That man.
It's the bottom line is you don't get a permit to burn, loot, pillage because an injustice has been done. You just don't get it. And what happens is it takes all of the emphasis off of the deed. All we can think of are the punks that are running out with flat screen TVs, and some of them multi-screen flat screen TVs. You could see it, and all kinds of things. Toasters. What kind of a? I saw somebody with a toaster. What kind of a protest is that? You're stealing a toaster in the memory of George Floyd? Do you have any sensibility at all?
Everything else was gone by then.
Yeah, and you should see. I saw a video this morning of the store. It looks like the day before they put the stock in it. Just disgusting. I get your point, Joe. I think we're all on the same page with this. We all feel that justice has to be served. The four cops were fired, and I assume will be charged with the major crimes. I don't know if it would be manslaughter or murder or what it would be, but a man died, and we have to keep that in mind. And I don't think, we've seen this scenario so many times before. We saw it in Ferguson, saw it in Baltimore. It's almost like, hey, be sure to leave the TV on in case we have a reason to go and loot and pillage the store. You're not gonna win many friends or many allies like that. Before, it was a slam dunk. There was no reason for anybody in my mind to try and come up with a reason why that happened. It happened not for any good reason at all. And we've heard people who train other policemen. That is not used in any kind of training to subdue a defendant at all. Not by anybody's standard. I heard martial arts people talking about how dangerous that is. Tony, you did martial arts. The carotid arteries are right there. It's a quick way to die.
Yeah, we were never taught to go for that.
Yeah, nor are the police. And if I were a cop, I would really be angry at the cops that did this, because here, you go to work every day, and you come home with your family, and you just did your job, and nothing like this has ever happened around you, and yet you're going to be tarred with the same brush, because people who don't like cops, and it gives them another reason now. But at least now, in their mind, they don't like cops, so they can get a free TV. I find that so disgusting, I can't tell you. All right, let me see. I want to ask you the basic question. Does the looting, pillaging, and stealing take away from the importance of the death of George Floyd by the Minneapolis PD? And yeah, the later video showed the same thing that the earlier video did, except it was a little wider shot. And you could see there was another cop standing within a foot of what was going on. And he, as best we can make out from that video, he made no attempt at all. To stop what was going on. I don't know if the cop that had his knee on George Floyd's neck was working on adrenaline. I don't know if he was working on some artificial substance. I have no idea about any of that. All I do know is that there's no way you can justify it. None. I did not even see George Floyd lift a hand. Well, he couldn't. He was handicapped. Not handicapped. He was handcuffed. Yeah, he was cuffed. He wasn't doing anything. He looked like a pretty substantial guy, too. He was wearing a T-shirt. It showed that he has obviously been to the gym a few times, but he wasn't fighting them. That's the key. He was not even struggling in the cuffs. He was in a seated position when we first saw him, and they lifted him up. Do we have anybody yet? They're logging some people on News Radio 930. We'd like your opinion. Okay, we're going to break for Rush, Limbaugh, then the news, and when we come back, Paul, we're going to be talking to you, so hang in there. On News Radio 930, this is WBEN.